I'd like to thank Dina Bondu Prabhu for the nice kirtan, nice tuni led this morning. Thank you so much. Can you give a microphone to my wife? She's going to lead the chanting today. We're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, Chapter 8, Texts 206 through 210. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Mother Mati Dasi, you want to lead us? Text number 206.
Vibhur api sukha rupa swaprakasho bhava.
Vibhur api sukha rupa swaprakasho bhava.
Shanam api nahi radha krishna yo yate sva.
Shanam api nahi radha krishna yo yate sva.
Pravahati rasa pushtim chit vibhuti revasha.
Pravahati rasa pushti chit vibhuti evasha.
Shayati na padam asam ka sakhinam rasagya.
Shayati na padam asam ka sakhinam rasagya.
Vibhur api sukha rupa swaprakasho bhava.
Vibhur api sukha rupa swaprakasho bhava.
Shanam api nahi radha krishna yo yarte sva.
Shanam api nahi radha krishna yo yarte sva.
Pravahati rasa pushtim chit vibhuti revasha.
Pravahati rasa pushtim Chit vibhuti evasha.
Shayati na padam asam ka sakhinam rasagya.
Shayati na padam asam ka sukhinam rasagya.
Vibhur api sukha rupa swaprakasho bhava.
Vibhur api sukha rupa swaprakasho bhava.
Shanam api nahi radha krishna yo yate sva.
Shanam api nahi radha krishna yo yate sva.
Pravahati rasa pushtim chit vibhuti revasha.
Pravahati rasa pushti chit vibhuti revasha.
Shayati na padam asam ka sakhinam rasagya.
Shayati na padam asam Kaswakinam Rasagya. Please chant. Viburapi Shuka Rupa Swapakasho Pi Baba. Shanam api nahi radha krishna yo ye ritte shva. Pravahati rasa pustim chit vibhuti evesha. Shrayati na padam asam ka swakinam rasagya. Anyone else?
Vibhurapi sukha rupa swaprakasho bhava.
Shanam api na hirara Krishna yoya ritte swa.
Shanam api na hirara Krishna yoya ritte
swa. Kavahati rasa pustim chid viburti ivesha.
Kavahati rasa pustim chid viburti ivesha.
Shvayati na pada asam kaswakinam rasa gya. Vivurati sukha rupa svapakasho pi bhava. Shanam api nahi radha krishna yoya ritte sva. Ravahati rasa pushtin kintidur viveshaha. Shayatina padam asam kaswakinam rasagya. Anyone else want to give a try? Viburapi sukha rupa svapakasho pi bhava. Shanamapi nahi radha krishna yoya ritti sva. Pravahati rasa pusti chid vibhutir ivesha. Shvayati na paramasam kasahiyam rasagya. Vivurapi sukha rupa svapakasho pi bhava. Shanam api nahi radha krishna yoya ritte sva. Pravahati rasa pustim chid vibhutir ivesha. Shayati na padam asam kaswakinam rasagya. Wonderful, wow. I think Sukada, she also added a little, she changed it a bit. They added some bounce to it in her line, so that was really nice. It was nice. Just reading yesterday about how the Bhagavatam teaches us, and Gopi Pranandana Prabhu was describing three ways the Bhagavatam teaches, actually quoting from Jiva Goswami, but it teaches as a master, as a servant, master as a friend, and as a lover. And the lover part of the teaching was the poetic. It refers to the beautiful poetry that's there in Sanskrit. And so we get some idea of how you get the feeling of love and emotion for Krishna just by the beautiful sound of the Sanskrit verses. And so we can get this from hearing this recitation of a verse from Govinda Lilamrita. So I'll read the translations to the text we have today. Then we can discuss a little about this elevated subject matter. Translation: the pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna are self-effulgent. They are happiness personified, unlimited and all-powerful. Even so, the spiritual humors of such pastimes are never complete without the gopis, the Lord's personal friends. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is never complete without his spiritual potencies. Therefore, unless one takes shelter of the gopis, one cannot enter into the company of Radha and Krishna. Who can be interested in their spiritual pastimes without taking their shelter? Purport: this is a quotation from Govinda Lilamrita 10:17. Text 207. There is an inexplicable fact about the natural inclination of the gopis. The gopis never want to enjoy themselves with Krishna personally. The happiness of the gopis increases 10 million times when they serve to engage Sri Sri Radha Krishna in their transcendental pastimes. By nature, Srimati Radharani is just like a creeper of love of Godhead, and the gopis are the twigs, flowers, and leaves of that creeper. When the nectar of Krishna's pastimes is sprinkled on that creeper, the happiness derived by the twigs, flowers, and leaves is 10 million times greater than that derived by the creeper itself. Purport. In his Amrita Prabhava Bhashya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur states, Srimati Radharani is the creeper of love of Godhead, and the gopis are exactly like twigs, flowers, and leaves. When water is sprinkled on the creeper, the twigs, flowers, and leaves indirectly receive all the benefit of the creeper itself. However, water sprinkled directly on the twigs and leaves and flowers is not as effective as water sprinkled on the creeper's root. The gopis are not pleased when they are directly mixed with Krishna, The gopis are not as pleased when they directly mix with Krishna as when they serve to unite Srimati Radharani with Krishna. Their transcendental pleasure lies in uniting them. Om Gyana Tamarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So as I mentioned, this is very elevated subject matter. Actually, this description in these verses today is, it's Jiva Dharma. We know the term Jiva Dharma. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has a book, Jiva Dharma. Jiva Dharma means the original nature of the soul. So the highest expression of the original nature of the soul is described in these verses today. I mean, how fortunate we are to be sitting here having received this knowledge from His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada and even attempting to hear it, to give oral reception to it. We're very fortunate to be in that position because this is Jiva Dharma. This is the highest expression of the true nature of the soul. So we're fortunate in that sense. We're unfortunate in another in that due to our conditioning, we cannot fully appreciate it. We cannot, I shouldn't say we. I use the term we just sort of for grammatical or linguistic convenience. Because I don't want to say I, then people think, oh, he thinks he's so special, he's saying I can't appreciate it. But, and I don't want to say you can't appreciate it, maybe you can appreciate it. But anyway, it's very difficult to truly appreciate this because of what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls our acquired nature. This is the original nature of the soul being described. So why can't we appreciate it? We're also spirit soul, hum brahmasmi. We can't appreciate it because we have this acquired nature, nisharga. Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls it nisharga. We have this acquired nature, which is asat, achit, and nirananda. Our original spiritual nature, these pastimes being described in these verses today, are Sat Chit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. But if we can't experience that eternity, knowledge, and bliss, it's because we have an acquired nature that's covering our real nature of Sat Chit Ananda, and that acquired nature is Asit, Asat, Achit, and Nirananda. It's not eternal. It's not full of knowledge, it's full of ignorance, and nirananda, not just no pleasure, but no, let's just leave it at that. No pleasure, suffering, pain. It doesn't stop just that there's no pleasure, but there's positively pain and distress and agony in our material condition. And this is due to anartas. This nisharga, this acquired nature, gives rise to different anartas or unwanted things. And I just want to go on a little tangent to explain that a bit, because these anartas are based on this nisharga, or the false conception of ourself, this acquired nature. You know, many things in the world we experience around us purport to be based on the original nature of the human being, for instance. Like capitalism, for instance. You read about capitalism, those that propound capitalism base it on the fact that they claim that's the nature of the soul, I mean, of the person, the nature of people, human beings, to act in a capitalistic way. Socialists also feel that they base their philosophy and their theories also on the nature of people, the nature of the human being. So this is a very powerful connection. When you can connect to the nature of the human being, but it's all nisharga of the false conception of the human being. Therefore, all kinds of anartas arise, and you'll find all kinds of unwanted things being manufactured by capitalists just to make money. So that's a side point, but I just mention these things because the anartas rise. And the anartas further cover us so that we can't appreciate this very relishable nature of the original nature of the soul that's presented here in the person and in the attitude of the gopis. The person and the attitude of the gopis. That's what the original nature of the soul is. But we can't appreciate it because we're covered with all these anartas and we have all these material desires and so many unfortunate circumstances we find with this ism or that ism in the world around us. But Krishna consciousness is really meant to be a revolution. And when Prabhupada uses that term, and he came to New York and spoke in terms of a revolution, his revolution was that, okay, let's go back to the original nature of the soul and then build things on that rather than an acquired nature or false nature of the soul and build things on that. That's what our whole civilization is built upon, the false nature of the soul, the needs of the soul. But if we build on the true needs of the soul, the true condition of the jiva, Jiva Dharma, then we get a different result. We have a different society. We have a different goals in life that make sense. In one sense, if we keep this false nisharga or conception of ourself, then Krishna consciousness doesn't really make sense. And the unfortunate thing is, it's all right if it doesn't make sense to people around us in the society who aren't devotees of the Lord or striving to perfect their lives. But the sad part is it may not make sense to us ourselves. If we have this false conception of ourselves, then at some point Krishna consciousness may start challenging ourselves. And we might think, well, what am I doing? You know, I'm in my 60s, I wasted my whole life, you know. So we have to understand, therefore we're fortunate, as I said, to hear about the gopis and Radha and Krishna's pastimes and what the attitudes are, because that is reality and we need to appreciate it. But how are we going to get to the point of appreciating it? That's the lesson in our presentation today. How do we get to the point of Going back, reviving our swabhava, our original nature. How do we get there from this visarga or this acquired nature? Well, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives us the answer to that question, and his answer is Sharanagati. Sharanagati. Everyone knows what Sharanagati means? It means surrender, yes. It means changing our conception of life from trying to be masters of this world to be servants of the Lord. And so, just as our conception, when we hear the Leela of Radha and Krishna, is sort of materially tainted. We see it in one way, as the ordinary dealings between young boys and young girls. Just as that is a reflection, we call it a perverted reflection of reality, the real nature of Sharanagati is also revealed by hearing of the pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And that real nature is the selfless attitude that we find described in these verses here today. Selflessness. That's what we hold forward as perfection in our lives in Krishna consciousness. A selfless attitude. And that's not something that's totally a concept that can't be related to by people in the world today. Many people do selfless services for the environment, for their fellow man, for the general good of society and people. And so we encourage that, selflessness. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, by propounding this idea of Sharanagati, or a sort of process to attain selflessness, is ultimately trying to present a revolutionary idea about society and how things can be structured so that there's more peace and happiness for everyone. And so I wanted to just go over the elements of this idea of Sharanagati with you this morning, so that we can see how we can apply it to our lives right here and now. We don't have to be advanced spiritualist, completely detached from this world, but from wherever we are situated in our consciousness at this point, we can develop a more spiritual awareness by 6 steps, and I just wanted to mention them to you here. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that, and I know we have some guests here, I want to throw some Sanskrit terms out there, so don't let it, we'll explain everything here. He says, anukulyasya sankalpa. That means making a vow, expressing some determination. And how do we make vows in the Krishna consciousness movement? What kind of vows do we make? Yes. Sukhita? Yeah, we make a vow to chant Krishna's names. We make a vow to chant Krishna's names. And that's actually an element of this Sharanagati, the first element of surrender, that you feel yourself committed to some spiritual practice, and we commit to who? That's the important thing. Who do we commit to when we vow to chant 16 rounds and follow the principles? Yeah, we commit to Srila Prabhupada, right? And actually, this is the point that is made by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Adau Guru Parashraya. The first thing, Adau, the first element of surrender is to surrender to who? To the Guru. And how do you do that? Anukulyasya sankalpa. You make a vow to Srila Prabhupada, we make a vow to Srila Prabhupada. And in that way, we take the first step in surrender. And what's the goal of surrender again, just so that we keep the lesson in mind? The goal in surrender is to get rid of this nishārga, or the false conception, acquired nature, and to develop our original spiritual nature. That's the process. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Sharanagati is the way in which you can revive your original spiritual nature. So it starts, number one, taking a vow, spiritual vow to Srila Prabhupada. He says here, the vow is, I will do everything which is favorable for devotional service. So
all of our devotional service is based on taking a vow, chanting the prayer. So the second one is Patikul Yasya Varjana. To make a determined effort not to do anything against the practice of devotional service. So Sukada gave both, actually, when she said, because she said, take the Dharma chant 16 rounds and then follow the four regular principles. So there's two things, those are the first two steps. First one is to do everything possible to advance my Krishna consciousness. And the second is to not do anything which will be against the practice of the Lord. Okay? So those two things. And then number three is Rakshishatiti Vishvaso.
Rakshishatiti Vishvaso. Does anybody know what that means? Raksha should give you a hint. Huh? Yeah, Raksha, protection. So, Rakshishatiti Vishvaso. I have strong faith in any that in any condition, Krishna will protect me. It's okay. I have this. Who has had a situation in their life where they felt that they needed the protection of Krishna and they got that protection? Yes. You want to tell us two sentences?
Pretty much every single time I go out and sing. And I feel I'm faithless, but I always said I see Krishna shows. Stuff happens and I think I have to adjust, I have to hide, I have to do whatever I have to do. And then it makes things okay, usually makes things okay.
Right. I mean the practice of Sankirtan, going out and preaching Krishna consciousness and distributing books or any form, actually helps us to cultivate this idea, this attitude that Krishna will protect me. And we're talking about attitudes here. The gopis are expressing a selfless attitude in the verses we read today. So changing our attitude is very important. So if we need that attitude, we can take that attitude. And part of that is feeling that Krishna will protect me in any circumstance. I know a lot of times when people join Krishna consciousness for and they're very new. Even the idea, well, at least it was in the ashram days. We don't have ashrams so filled now, but it was like even the fear of, like, am I going to get prasadam? You know? Is there going to be enough to go around? Am I going to eat, you know, on a regular basis? And because there's this weak faith in Krishna that he will protect me even by making sure I get prasadam, you know. And so this is a very important step, and as I mentioned, as Divyanga mentioned, preaching often puts us in the situations where we need that protection. There's so many stories. We have one famous story that I always was inspired by, and it deals with our GBC right here, Tamahar Prabhu. You know, he was on Sankirtan, and somebody put a gun to his head. You know, and he even pulled the trigger, but the gun didn't go off. Somehow or another, he was protected by Krishna. And so we have to have that faith, strong faith. So that's number three. Number four, Goptriptva Varnam Tata. Now and tomorrow and forever, I will not have to do anything for my maintenance. Krishna will maintain me. Now, this is particularly important in a grahastha community like ours because so many of us may have some job or ways in which we need to maintain ourselves. But how many of us are thinking that that maintenance is coming from Krishna twice?
As opposed to it coming just on the basis of our own strength or our own education or something.
It's back on now. What do we think? What do you think, Dina Bandipur? You're a doctor. I mean, do you think, are you going to work every day thinking that Krishna is maintaining me? Or you're thinking that, I'm a smart guy, I'm maintaining myself. That's a good meditation for you and your profession every day. You're going to think, well, Krishna will maintain me. So that's and your patience as well. So that's number three, that attitude. And these things are building, and they should build to the point where we feel that we're surrendered to Krishna. Sometimes that term is, we don't understand, what does it mean, surrender to Krishna? Well, here's what it means. First, we take vows to do what's favorable. We make a determined effort to do what's not favorable. We have strong faith that Krishna will protect us and that he will maintain us. And then dainya means to always be meek and humble and give respect to others. Think about, we talked in the beginning about how conceptions of life, this acquired nature of materialism comes in the form of socialism or communism and everything. Think about how those things cause us to treat people. Capitalists, for instance. How do they treat people? How do they think of people? I heard a statement some time ago about how, say, a Western capitalist may think about China, for instance. How do they think about the Chinese people? Well, there's 20 million... 30 billion consumer units. That's the thought. They're consumer units. That's how they think. And then when you start dealing with consumer units, you start impersonalizing people in that way, then you can do anything and justify it. You can do anything and justify it. How different a society would be if we had this quality of dainya, which is the original nature of the soul, when we were humble and we gave respect, all respect, others. This world is a terrible place, and it's because it lacks this dainya quality. People are so cruel to each other, it's practically unbelievable if you read the history of the world. I was just reading something here, something about Ukraine. Your wife is from Ukraine. And the horrible treatment over the centuries that have taken place there, less than 100 years ago, such cruelty. Millions of people dying just because of a political decision, starving to death because of a political decision. This is what happens when we have the wrong conception of the self. We have the right conception of the self, dainya, then we give respect to others. And the last of the sixth is atmanivedanam, which means complete self-surrender. To not do anything against or separate from the desire of the guru. That's how we can understand it. There are higher understandings of atmanivedanam, complete self-surrender. But on our level, let's relate it to Srila Prabhupada. We don't have a separate interest other than Srila Prabhupada's interest in spreading Krishna consciousness in the world. And we completely dedicate our lives to that. That's Atma Nivedanam, to be completely dedicated in that way. And so these six elements of Saranagati are ways in which, again, that we can dissolve the false conception of life that we have, that we're this material body, and that satisfying the sense of this body is a purpose of life. It's just not the fact, And the proof of it, that it's not the fact, is that practically no one ever achieved that. I mean, even great persons like Hiranyakasipu, Ravana, they didn't achieve complete satisfaction in life. So what to speak of us? What opportunities do we have in that regard? But that's a lesson. It's good. It's not that that's a sad thing. You know, it's great. We can't be successful that way. Then we know that that's the wrong path. Let's go on the right path. And on the right path, there have been many, many people, and our acharyas make this point, that have been successful. Isn't it the verse in Bhagavad Gita that many, many people have followed this path in the past and achieved perfection? Isn't that a verse, at least in a verse or a purport in Bhagavad Gita, that many, many people in the past have followed this path and they have achieved perfection? But there's not many, many people that follow a materialistic path and achieve complete perfection. If anyone. So service to the Guru in these six forms of surrender, saranagati, revive our original swabhava, our original nature. Now there's another very, very powerful way to revive our original nature, and it involves same type of six elements of surrender, but it's specifically focused on Vaishnavas. Narottam Das Thakur, in this regard, has a nice bhajan where he says, Chadiya Vaishnav Sev Nishtar Pareche Keva. Who, without serving a Vaishnava, has ever gained liberation from this world? No one. Unless one becomes a servant of a pure devotee, one cannot be delivered from the material condition of life. So that's the purpose of surrendering to a guru or to the Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas means all of you. If we want to think about, well, where can I surrender to the Vaishnavas? Where can I surrender to the Vaishnavas? Well, look around. You know, we can serve each other. Vaishnavas are those that are endeavoring on this path. Ideally, best pure devotee. Serve that Vaishnava. We all want to get that opportunity. But we shouldn't miss the opportunity of serving each other and purifying ourselves by doing that. Because that is the way to revive our original nature and to go back to Godhead. And all these attitudes are shown in these verses of the gopis here today. And so let me just conclude by reading those verses again. There's just five of them, I think, so that we can, you know, benefit from hearing this and meditate on the attitude which we can't imitate the activities, but we can try to get the attitude which is being expressed here. The pastime, this is from Govinda Lilamrita, the pastimes of Sri Radha and Krishna are self-effulgent. They are happiness personified, unlimited and all-powerful. Even so, the spiritual humors of such pastimes are never complete without the gopis, the Lord's personal friends. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is never complete without his spiritual potencies. Therefore, unless one takes shelter of the gopis, one cannot enter into the company of Radha and Krishna. Who can be interested in their spiritual pastimes without taking their shelter? There is an inexplicable fact about the natural inclination of the gopis. The gopis never want to enjoy themselves with Krishna personally. The happiness of the gopis increases 10 million times when they serve to engage Shishi, Radha, and Krishna in their transcendental pastimes. By nature, Srimati Radharani is just like a creeper of love of Godhead, and the gopis are the twigs, flowers, and leaves of that creeper. When the nectar of Krishna's pastimes is sprinkled on that creeper, the happiness derived by the twigs, flowers, and leaves is 10 million times greater than that derived by the creeper itself. So are there any comments or questions about these subject matters? Yes, Madam Mohan.
That the verse comes, it verse right before 4:11. It's 4:10. 4:11 is, as they surrendered to me, I reward them accordingly. So the verse Krishna says just before that one is being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me. Many, many persons in the past have become purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all obtain transcendental love for me. So that was...
That's perfect.
Thank you. Yeah, I love it.
And then
that verse that you quoted about how you... but without the serving the Vaishnava, no one has made real spiritual advancement. And just in connection with other saints from other traditions, you know, like I'm thinking Saint Francis of Assisi or some of these great personalities, who I always thought had achieved a certain level of spiritual advancement, and they didn't have connection with Vaishnava. So how do you reconcile that?
The translation of that I like the most is in I've read it in Prabhupada's books at one point. Said no one ever went back to Godhead without serving a Vaishnava. And so if just think about that a little bit in comparison to what you asked. It's not that serving others, first of all, even serving others in a mundane way is what's advised when one can't take transcendental knowledge. So it's meant to elevate one. It is an elevated state from just being a selfish person. And when we serve, say like in the St. Francis Assisi, you said, serving in that way obviously has spiritual upliftment there. But if we look at that translation, that no one's ever gone back to Godhead without serving a Vaishnava, then the goal is the highest expression of the soul in Goloka Vrindavan, in Krishna's pastimes. That is rarely attained. But that, because that's rarely attained, doesn't mean we shouldn't serve everyone. We should consider ourselves the servant of everyone, including the Vaishnavas. So if we look at it like that, maybe get some perspective on answering. Divyanga.
Concerning that the gopis making arrangements for others to, or for Radha Krishna to get together and others to serve Radha Krishna, and then the 10 million times more nectar. Back in the 74, Tripurari and Rameshwar were preaching to that Sankirtan was that activity, that you go out and you engage others to try to bring them back to Krishna's Rasa Leela. And some devotees thought that was radical, especially devotees that weren't going out and doing Sankirtan. They just saw us selling books and taking money and stuff. And so they wrote the famous letter to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada wrote back immediately and said, yes, what Rameshwar has said about engaging the jivas in Sankirtan is the same as the gopis engaging others in Radha Krishna's service in Golok. Prabhupada said this is the correct understanding. So, and it's another inspiration, or udipan, for me when I hear these kind of leela, because when you're out there with conditioned souls, their only chance, like I was in Walmart yesterday, and I met this old man who was very kind of bent over. He must have been 90. And I gave him a lollipop, and I said, we're giving these to everybody that will smile. And he looked at me and he said, how can an old man smile whose dog just died? Honest to God, that's what he said. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry about your dog. And he said, actually, I had two dogs, and 6 months ago, the first one died. And he said, just last week, my second dog died. And I said, well, I guess you need another dog. And he said, no, I don't want another dog. I'm too old to take care of him. That's why they died. And this man was just crushed. You know, I felt so sorry for him. So I said, I pulled out the the Beyond Birth and Death. And I said, here, this is a book that talks about acquiring inner peace, and so we don't have to suffer when we lose things like our dogs. And he looked at the book, and he looked at me, and he said, I am not into religion. And I said, this is not religion. Who said anything about religion? I said, this talks about inner peace for each individual, and we all have that potential inside of us. And unfortunately, because we're here, we lose things. I mean, when he said, how can an old man, I thought he was going to say his wife died or something. His dog just died. The poor guy, you know, his whole energy was just focused on that. But he would not, he held the book, so I thought, I already got that. And he had the prashadam. And he gave me the book back, and he just walked away in disgust. And I just felt so sorry for the guy. But I also thought, what was his chances if I wouldn't have been out here? And it was hot. And I was tired, and I didn't really want to go, but I did. And I thought, this is really a nice opportunity for me to help this guy. And that happens many, many hundreds of times every week on Sankirtan. But it's just so, it was so clear to me that these poor jivas, they get the human form, which is, you know, that famous verse, Bhaktisiddhanta's favorite verse, most quoted verse, Labdva Sudhu. I can't remember the whole verse, but it says that even though the human body is temporary, it affords the chance to get out. And it's like you said, you know, we follow Prabhupada and we get to go back to Godhead, which is the, I mean, that just trumps everything.
Hare Krishna, thank you, Prabhu. I was thinking about these six symptoms of surrender, especially the protection and the maintenance part, feeling Krishna's, feeling completely dependent on Krishna. And I'm sure I'm not alone, but I feel Krishna provides situations where I'm deeply feeling those things. You know, when the money's about to run out, or the work is almost gone, or I can't figure something out, or I'm you know, in desperate need of protection in some form or the other, he creates this chance to really feel it.
Hmm. Yeah, surrender is something that's practiced. Like, if you understand, he practices it every day by going out there and seeing, and the lessons he gets from each person he runs into. In your work, the tests that come, how Krishna protects you, how he's there with the next job, did whatever, you know, we should see it like that. That's the point. We need to cultivate that attitude. And it's not just an attitude, it's reality. It's to cultivate the knowledge of seeing things in a real way that way. And that means, that's a practical means of what surrender, what we mean when we talk about surrender to God. It means to see how he's providing for our maintenance, how he's protecting us. So, we'll go ahead, Sean. We'll just.
It's just interesting, in this item of surrender, the last one is complete surrender. As emphasized fully, that aspect. You know, you have all these different parts of surrender, and then to reiterate the whole focus, complete surrender is what is called for.
Putting it all together. So we'll stop there.
Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.